There's something deeply revealing about how Scripture talks about the heart. Not the physical organ that is inside of us, but that sort of inner center of who we are, the place of our thoughts, our emotions, our faith, and our will. And if we're honest, we all must admit something at the very beginning. We have a heart problem. And let me be clear, when I say that we have a heart problem or a heart condition, I don't mean the physical kind that affects the body, something many of us know all too personally. But it's about the deeper condition that the Scripture speaks of, the condition of the heart, of our hearts before God. And Scripture is unflinching in its diagnosis. The prophet Jeremiah wrote in chapter 17, verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick." That verse is not talking about someone else. It's speaking about all of us. And so we all pray with David, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Because we know that the heart that we have is not the heart that we need. Even Jesus speaks to this condition in John 14, 1 when he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Because our hearts do become troubled, right? They become weighed down and uncertain. And some days our hearts feel strong. Other days it feels distant, distracted, and maybe even numb. And so when we come to this story of the road to Emmaus, we're not simply observing two disciples a long time ago. We are, in many ways, seeing our own condition. Those two disciples are walking away from Jerusalem, away from the place where everything had happened, away from the cross, away from the empty tomb, away from hope. And as they walk, they talk, replaying the events and trying to make sense of it all. But their words reveal their heart condition. "We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Their hope is now past tense. Their hope is now broken. Their hope is now buried. Their hearts are heavy, downcast, and confused. And I think we all know that condition. We have sad hearts weighed down by grief, troubled hearts filled with anxiety, weak hearts worn down by temptation, doubtful hearts quietly questioning, lukewarm hearts that have cooled, and even cold hearts that seem untouched by the things of God. However we might describe them, the diagnosis remains the same. We have a heart condition. That's where these disciples are. They're not enemies of Jesus, not hardened unbelievers, but their hearts have grown cold through disappointment. And yet this is precisely where the gospel begins. Jesus comes to them there. He doesn't wait for their hearts to improve. He doesn't stand at a distance hoping they'll figure things out. He draws near to them and walks with them. And even though they do not recognize him, he is still present. He listens as they pour out their confusion, as they pour out their sorrow. Their words, "We had hoped," reveal both their longing and their blindness. And again, we recognize those same symptoms within us. We also have a heart condition. So Jesus speaks to them, and notice how he reveals himself. He doesn't begin with a miracle or with a sudden unveiling. Instead, he opens the Scriptures. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he shows them how everything has been pointing to him, his suffering, his death, his resurrection. And what seemed like failure was in fact the plan of God for their salvation. This is how God reveals himself, through his word. Jesus does not bypass the word. He fulfills it. He explains it and delivers himself through it. And as he speaks, something begins to happen within them. Later, they will say it plainly. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? That fire did not originate within them. It was not something they stirred up. It came from Jesus, from his word, from his voice, speaking life into their cold and confused hearts. And that's still how Jesus works today. We often look for something dramatic, a feeling, an experience, a sudden spark. But Jesus works through means. He comes through us, to us through his word, opening the scriptures and speaking promises that are outside of us, but certain and sure. Through the word, he kindles faith, warms what is cold, and awakens what has grown dull. The diagnosis may still be true. We have a heart condition. But now we begin to see the treatment. As they continue down the road, their hearts begin to change. The sadness lifts, the confusion starts to clear, and the word of Christ is doing its work. Yet the fullness of his revelation is still yet to come. When they reach their destination, they urge him strongly, "Stay with us." There's already a longing in their hearts for more of him, though they do not yet fully understand why. And he does stay. He sits at the table with them, takes bread, gives thanks, breaks it, and gives it to them. In that moment, their eyes are opened and they recognize him, not just as that teacher on the road, but as the crucified and risen Lord. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia!
Now everything is different. Their hearts are no longer heavy. They are burning. Their steps are no longer slow. They are urgent. They rise at that very hour and run all the way back to Jerusalem because burning hearts cannot keep still. They must speak. They must confess the Lord has risen indeed. The same hearts that once said, "We had hoped," now proclaim with certainty and joy. Their heart condition has changed, not because they healed themselves, but because Christ has come to them. And here's the pattern that we must not miss. Christ reveals himself and sets their hearts ablaze through means, through his word and through the breaking of the bread. And this is not merely some past event. This is how he still comes to us today. He comes through the preached word, where the scriptures are opened and Christ is proclaimed. There he speaks to each one of us personally, telling us again and again that our sins are forgiven, that his death was for us, and that his resurrection is our life. In that hearing, faith is created and sustained, and our hearts too begin to burn. But he still doesn't stop there. He reveals himself through the sacraments, through visible, tangible means where his word is joined to earthly elements. In holy baptism, he comes to us with water and his word to wash, to cleanse, to give us a new birth. There he claims us as his own, uniting us to his death and his resurrection and giving us a new heart alive in him. And in the Holy Supper, he does what he did at Emmaus. He takes bread, gives thanks, breaks it, and gives it, not merely as a reminder, but has his true body and his true blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. There he is not distant, but present, giving himself to us. In these means, word and sacrament, Christ is not merely talked about. He is given, delivered, and revealed. And this is where the heart condition is treated. This is where hearts are set ablaze. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
So take a moment today, consider your own heart condition. Perhaps it's joyful and strong, and for that we give thanks to our Lord. Perhaps, though, it is weary, troubled, distant, or even cold. Then hear this clearly. Christ comes to you not because your heart is ready, but because he is faithful. He comes to walk with you in the ordinary paths of life. He comes to speak to you through his word, to open the scriptures, and to give himself in the sacraments. And in that coming, he does what only he can do. He takes sad hearts and fills them with joy, troubled hearts and gives them peace, weak hearts and strengthens them, doubtful hearts and anchors them in his promises, lukewarm hearts and rekindles them, and cold hearts and sets them on fire. But when your heart feels cold, don't turn inward as though you can fix this. Turn outward to where Christ has promised to be. Go to his word and hear it. Come to his table and be fed. Return to your baptism and remember who you are in him. For the fire of faith is not something that you create. It is something that he gives again and again. And so even as we confess that we indeed do have a heart condition, we also confess something far greater. Christ has come to heal it. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.